Thank God for his uncontainable presence. Today's passage comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. And as you are turning there, as I was going through these passages for this week, there was a word that kept on going through my mind that, as I was reading through the different translations and versions of the Bible, a very common word kept popping up through all of these passages. And that word is abide. It's a word that we don't really hear all that often anymore unless it's something to do with some sort of law or rule, to abide by the rules or the law, to abide by the code of conduct that you signed when you joined campus life. And I didn't fully understand abide before I went to Olivet. Olivet, I was musically inclined, if you weren't able to guess that, and I was part of a lot of different music groups. My primary music group that I was part of, that I was with for a good 3 years, was the marching band. The same year I started was the same first year of the marching instructor at Olivet. And with that, changes were made, and some of the veteran musicians in the band were a little hesitant with some of the ways he was going about it. He is still there, a background in more professional groups and actually part of some very high-ranking musical marching groups as well, but a very, very devout man. And at the beginning of every practice and the beginning of every show that we did for halftime on the football field, there was a song he essentially hammered into our brains to memorize. And that song I had not really heard of before that point, and I'm sad I hadn't. Some of you may find it familiar. It is the song Abide With Me. Not the Matt Maher single that came out not too long ago, but the old hymn. And it reads as this, the first verse. Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. And that acted as a prayer through all of my time at Olivet when I was with the marching band, and it continues to this day to be a common prayer I will have, the song Abide With Me. And it is not the abiding by a rule, because God doesn't follow our rules, of course, but it is the old form of abide, to live and dwell, where we get the word abode. And with that in mind of this dwelling and this presence, let's go into the passage, if you would rise, as we read from the scripture. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. The word of the Lord to the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now, throughout that entire passage, there were a lot of loops and repeated phrases and convoluted sentence structures. But in essence, it's just solidifying the fact that it is not a one-way street, this relationship we have with God. It is not just God pouring out his love onto us and more and more and more, but at the same time, it isn't just us doing more and more and more to appease God. It is both, and yet neither. It is a mystery as deep as the nature of God himself. As it is repeated time and time again in this passage, and we have heard time and time again in our lifetimes, God is love. But what is that supposed to mean? We hear a lot of love language. I mean, there's a whole book on five different types of love languages that still confuses me whenever I hear someone talk about it. But what is love? Well, it's stated plainly here. Love is made apparent by God sending his one and only Son to die for us as an atoning sacrifice. That's almost like saying that a punishment is the reciprocated is the effect caused upon a negative action. It's somewhat vague. And how can we repeat it? If we are to love others as we are shown love by God, how are we supposed to show that same level of love? The key is that we're not supposed to. It's impossible. God is love. And just as God is in all things, all-knowing, all-present, he is all love. So how are we supposed to achieve this? As we are commanded, we are to love others as God loves us. And more commonly, we are told to love others as ourselves. And I don't know about you, but there are many instances in my life where I have some severe difficulty finding love in myself, especially if it has to do with eating a large amount of food. But God made a way. And that is where this word of abiding comes into play. And when we end up using that language and we talk about God, there's often a confusion of, oh, we're supposed to abide by the rules of God or abide by the Word of God. No, we are supposed to abide in God. Full stop. Because if you abide in God, which in essence is loving God, all the other things will fall into place. So if we love God and we know how that is shown, and we are led to love others, how is that to be made apparent? Well, we are to be as Christ was when he was on earth. Christ was not one to cater to the upper echelons to society. In fact, he made a lot of enemies in the upper echelons of the society of his day. The status quo was not his strong suit. He took the law that the Father had passed on, and cleaned the glasses of those reading it so that it did not have the tint of humanity to its phrasing, but the clarity of God. And so it is made perfect in that. To abide by God is to abide by no other. As we look back through the Gospels, through the prophets, and through the books of Moses, time and time again, we see the people of God failing to do just that. All the way back to even before the Ten Commandments, the people of God failed to recognize God alone. They would falter to kings and gods that were beyond what God intended. Some might say, oh, but it is loving your neighbor and taking aspects of their society with them. But there is a clear and definite difference between loving one's neighbor and blindly accepting one's neighbor. We can love someone, but not agree with them. We can love a group of people and still have differences with them. The kingdom of God is not a cookie-cutter kingdom. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of many tribes and nations. And just as we do not accept or integrate certain policies and ideas into our own ideas and perspectives, we are not supposed to diminish or berate those that have different policies or ideas or systems. For God's Son was an atoning sacrifice. For it is God's love that makes us perfect. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete. What is a complete love? What is a perfect love, even? When you think of that, and I invite you to think about this concept of a perfect love, beside the gospel, in your mind, what other testament of perfect love has there been? Or, if you are still drawing a blank, as you should, what is the closest thing to a perfect love that you have seen or witnessed? It may be a parent loving their spouse, grandparents even, family, romance novels if you're so inclined. But these are only facets of what love is. In Greek, it is a very complex thing, love, which we must assume that as we have found the text in Greek, that this is the case for us. There are three primary forms of love, as I'm sure that many of us have heard before. There is the holy love, the love of God. There's the familial love, and then there's the romantic love. Commonly, when we hear love or think about love, it's the familiar or the romantic forms. But this holy love, this full love of God, it is not grand gestures. It can appear in the smallest little things. Just as with the familial love of getting someone a nice drink or a little toy for a child, picking up something for someone that has dropped it, or carrying a heavy load for a brother that is going across the way on their path of life. This love is made apparent in presence, in dwelling, in the abiding of a community. To abide by no other, we abide in God and God in us, and us is still plural. So if we are expected to abide in God, to dwell in God, we go to where God's present nature is, and it is earth. It is its people. It is that disheveled looking person down the way. It is that sorrowful widow a few houses down. It is the jubilant child that doesn't know the darkness of the world just yet. It is us gathered here in this great place, as well as those gathered in the dark corners of the world, hiding from oppressive governments and policies. Perfect love is sanctification. Just as our tradition attests to entire sanctification, it is recognized in this passage and others that we are made perfect in love. Not to say that we are completely away from temptation, but we are better resolved against it. But we may still fall and falter as humanity does. But we cannot let that fear of failure keep us from doing the work God has called us to. Because as it is written, fear has nothing to do with love. Anger may be present in love as you are concerned for the well-being of others. joy may be present in love as you celebrate the returning of a child to God. But fear has no place in God's love. Because fear denotes punishment. Fear denotes fear of judgment and punishment and an eternity without God. But with God, if we dwell in God, if we abide by God, we have no fear of such. And why would we hoard up such a freeing feeling? We are called to love others and to spread his gospel in all we do, as he declared on the mount before he ascended. We are to go to all corners of the world. That doesn't mean to go all the way over to Africa. That means to find the dark corners in your workplace and your neighborhoods and going there and digging the people out of the darkness and telling them God's here for you. God is present for his people that is amongst the world. I love God. And because of that, I love his people, and I am saddened by the state they find themselves in. Whether they declare themselves as believers and hate upon their brethren, or they don't declare themselves as believers and act as if they are, I am saddened by the backwards nature of our society. When those that are outside of the community are taking up the responsibilities that the bride of Christ is supposed to be responsible for, that is when we must move and revive our broken bodies. Love is not still. Love is not silent. Love acts. Love moves. Love does. So, you're probably thinking to yourself, there's a lot of statements here, but what is the point? What are we supposed to do? Yes, I can go to the corners. I could find these individuals. I can say these things. But what difference is it going to make? Just as I had mentioned last week, God is a God of dominoes. All throughout his house, I can picture a whole set of dominoes, each piece with a person's name and life. One of the favorite things in Sunday school is when Joe brings out that little rope. There's the whole eternity, but there's that little lifespan at the end. That little lifespan is the single domino. We are limited in our perspective. We are a single domino. But when we are set moving instead of staying in place, we can make contact with the next domino and the next domino and the next domino. And before you know it, instead of a bunch of little tiles scattered across the floor, a beautiful portrait is made before us. I'm not sure if you've seen those videos or those displays of dominoes falling in their patterns and creating images once they fall. But it is such a shift in perspective to to see a series of lines become an image. The little pieces and the little moments, the little movements and actions, each have their repercussions. We must be aware to act. We must be looking to act. Finally, we see these things, and we see the world around us, and just like the believers of the first century, we too believe God is going to send his Son soon to return. Any day now, we anticipate it with bated breath. But this anticipation should not breed contempt. This anticipation should not cause one to pause. The darkness of the world may crowd around us, but when God breaks through that barrier, when he comes riding upon those clouds and the night is turned to day, we are demanded to look upon ourselves in our lives and think, have we abided in the active ministry of God? Have we seen to our fallen brothers and sisters and declared the gospel in not just word of mouth, but in the action of our hands, feet, and hearts? The number one point of testimony on that fateful day of judgment is not the list of actions and prayers that may look to be good. It is not the amount of offering and material wealth distributed. It is the heart that we bear and the hearts we've connected to and made contact with along our life's journey to bring us to the point of judgment to say, yes, Lord, I have fulfilled your command and abided by your will and abided in you, and the house has grown exponentially. We are going to close out today's service with a song that exemplifies this. It is not merely a request to move on and declare the Lord. It is not simply doing charitable things for charitable duties. It is a compulsion of God's love propelling us forward into the mighty tapestry of his kingdom. So let us join together in a final act of worship as we prepare to go out into his field.